understanding of what it means to be one of God's burning ones. The text that I've chosen this morning is from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse 35. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, a simple but profound verse of Scripture. John was a blazing, burning torch. And I wonder how many of us understand that God wants our name to be placed where John's is. When I come to the end of my life, I want it to be said that Paul was a blazing, burning torch. Do you want that to be said of you? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And the life that we live that will last for all eternity and bring reward in eternity, and most importantly, blessing, fulfillment, destiny in this life, is as we become God's burning ones. So Lord, this morning we pray that your word would run swiftly and that your name would be glorified as your word is inscribed on our hearts, as our hearts are challenged to hear, to obey, and to do your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Well, as we've come to the end of this fast, I have felt led to continue on this theme of returning to the Lord, but now only in a different vein. We've been looking at what is required of us in returning to the Lord. But now I want us to look at the result. What happens when there is a genuine turning to the Lord? Now, you may recall, those of you who are with us, we concluded last week's message with that wonderful promise given to us in the book of Joel, where God says, those that return to me, I will pour out my spirit, and not just upon a select few, but upon all flesh. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is not a discriminating God. And regardless of our age, regardless of our gender, regardless of our social standing, whether we are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, young or old, he said, all flesh. That includes me. That includes you. Let's get hungry for what God desires. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those that are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. But we want to remember and be sure that we understand that this promise is not given in any cavalier way. God doesn't just arbitrarily give out his blessings. As Dino prayed this morning, we get so casual with the things of God, but God is not a casual God. I want to remind you this morning that we must never lose sight of the crucial requirement if we are to receive the fullness of all that God has for us, then we need to return to the Lord in earnest. As we read in Joel 2:12 and 13, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, coming to him with our confession, agreeing with what his word says concerning how we are living our lives. Coming to him with our repentance, changing our minds about the way we live, changing the direction of our lives, changing our perspectives in life, and aligning not with this flesh, this carnal nature, with how the world sees it, but now aligning ourselves with the mind and the Word of God. And coming in obedience to God's Word in Hosea 14 and 2, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all of our sins and receive us graciously so that we might offer the fruit of our lips. We think a lot about giving praise to God, but God says before you bring your praise, make sure it comes from a pure heart and a clean mouth, clean lips. But that only comes as a result of our confession and our repentance. And then He says, I will pour out my Spirit. Now, anytime we think of this promise in the book of Joel, we are immediately taken to the book of Acts, are we not? Because it was on the day of Pentecost that Peter quoted that very scripture. And the phenomena of what took place on the day of Pentecost is recorded by Dr. Luke for us. That when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And what happened? They were all filled. What happened? They were all filled. What happened? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know, when God comes on the scene, you will always know it. God comes in very visible, demonstrable ways, ways that are palpable. You see the evidence of His presence that is unmistakable. And on the day of Pentecost, there was first a sound of a mighty rushing wind. I wonder if our ears are tuned to heaven today. Now, if we're tuned to TV, and if we're tuned to the news, and we're tuned to the voices of the world, we will not be in tune and be on heaven's wavelength. But I believe if we are in tune with heaven's voice today, we will know that there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And God is getting ready to pour out His Spirit upon the earth like never before. For the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy is that in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And after the sound of this mighty rushing wind, what happened? There was fire. Fire in the form of split tongues that rested on each of them. You know, when you study the scriptures and you read about God, it doesn't take long before you discover one of the metaphors that is used so frequently in describing God, and that is fire. And He manifests Himself in fire. You know, the references are far too numerous in the scripture, but I just want to name a couple of them. We recall Moses when he was in the wilderness, in the desert, and God came to him. How did He come? In a fiery bush that was not consumed. It was not the fire that we think of. It was the almighty, visible, manifest presence of God. Fire. In the Old Testament, when He revealed Himself, He came down in Shekinah glory that was revealed by fire. When Ezekiel saw his vision of God, it was a revelation of fire. When we look into the heavens today, we see that before the throne of God are burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God, all burning in fire. In the book of Revelation, we see that before the throne, there is a sea of glass that is mingled with fire. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, He is going to be revealed from heaven in blazing fire. Think about it. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back as a gentle lamb. He's coming back as a roaring lion in blazing fire with all of his powerful angels. Fire is who God is. Dino prayed it this morning. Our God is a consuming fire. He's fiery in his holiness. There's no trace of evil in him. He's fiery in his passionate love. He's fiery in his judgment against sin. He's fiery in his zeal for justice and righteousness on the earth. And all that is not of God and his fiery holiness is consumed when he comes and passes by. No wonder the scripture says it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so it comes really as no surprise that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was outpoured, there would be fire. Tongues of fire, the scripture says, that sat on each of them. The Spirit of God did not single out just the apostles. The Spirit of God did not single out the mother of Jesus, Mary, who was also in the upper room. But all 120 of them saw cloven tongues like a fire that sat on them. First of all, I think it's really interesting that God the Holy Spirit says when I'm come, the first evidence of my coming is going to be fire that sits upon my people and is going to radically impact their tongues. Their tongues, the most unruly member of this flesh. James tells us our tongues are set on fire by hell. And if you listen to the rhetoric in the world today, you cannot deny that what we are hearing is the fire of hell that is setting people's tongues loose and spewing out venom and vitriol and hatred and violence and evil and lust and impurity and uncleanness. It is not of God. And God says, if my people who are called by my name are going to be my people, then their tongues are need to have the coal from off the altar to touch their lips so that my Spirit can come in fullness and fill their lives. Tongues that sat upon each of them. Now that word sat in the original language carries the idea of a completed preparation. Do we understand? And I know that in our microwave age, if we come to the altar, we're coming just to spend maybe 30 seconds, a minute. Because, you know, hurry up, God. This is what I need. This is what I want. Give it to me right now. But do you know the 120 were in the upper room for 10 days, waiting on the promise of the Father? How hungry are we for God? Are we hungry enough to wait on God? Are we hungry enough to continue to seek God? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, find. And to him who knocks on that door, it shall be opened unto them. God promises that when we seek him, how? With all of our heart. And that means seeking him by taking the time that sometimes he requires. The people in the upper room were in a place of completed preparation. And my heart is challenged because some of the things that I'm seeking the Lord for and I've not received yet, the Spirit of God is telling me, Paul, you're not in a place yet of completed preparation. May God help us to see where we need to go from here in order to fulfill that place of completed preparation so that we could be ready for all that God has for us. But the second connotation of that word is permanence of position. Because when the Holy Spirit comes to his people, he doesn't come for just a little short visit. He comes to abide. Do we understand when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not something that happens at a moment when we're kneeling at an altar, when God fills us and we speak in tongues and we feel the euphoria and the ecstasy of the glory of God. But God now is dwelling in us in a way where he wants to show us that as we live by the dictates now of the Holy Spirit, he is going to continue to reveal a greater glory. And that's why the scripture says we go from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why the scripture wants us to understand that the walk that we are living by the Spirit of God is a progressive walk where God is wanting to show us a greater degree of surrender to him, a greater degree of our commitment to him, our consecration to him, as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is indwelling us. This Holy Spirit who has come has not come to just give us a little tingle or thrill up and down our spine. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost. No, my friend. He has come to give us a life-transforming experience. An encounter with heaven will radically change us for the rest of our days. And how we need to see in all of our lives how desperately all of us need this mighty baptism of God's Holy Spirit. You notice what I said, baptism. Do we remember what that word means? Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, and it means immersion. It doesn't mean a sprinkling. When people are baptized in water in our church, they go under that water. Because the Bible teaches us that they die in Christ and are buried, and that water is a symbol of that grave into which we go when we give our hearts to Christ, where now we no longer live, but now it is Christ who lives in us, and we live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for us. We're enveloped by that water. And when the Spirit of God comes in his fullness, we're enveloped by the Holy Spirit. Not just touched, filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know why when we speak of baptism, that in our Christian churches, all of our emphasis is only on two baptisms, when the scripture really speaks about three baptisms. The first, obviously, is the one I just spoke of, water baptism, where the Apostle Paul spoke to the Christians at Ephesus about that, and he said, "Have you received the Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "No, we've only been baptized with John's baptism," and John baptized, Paul said, with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And so I trust that as born-again believers, all of us have followed the Lord in obedience as Jesus set the example for us. He, the sinless Son of God, was baptized in water. Who are we to think, that's optional. I don't need to take that step. If you're a disciple, the scripture says to his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel, commanding them. There's so many things in our Christian life that we think are optional. But the scripture says we are commanded by God to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second baptism is the baptism that we also already spoke of, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what the 120 received in the upper room. But somehow we miss this third baptism. This is a baptism that is not just a baptism whereby we receive the gift of a heavenly language, a prayer language, whereby now we could communicate with God in an unknown language. And even though our mind lacks understanding, our spirit knows what needs to be prayed because he knows the mind and the will of God. And that's what's so glorious about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you had those times when you say, God, my heart is so heavy. I just don't know how to pray about this. And the Spirit prompts us, well, I've given you a language. Pray in the Spirit. And as we pray in the Spirit, we are uttering mysteries, but they are mysteries that the Spirit of God understands and God the Father is hearing and answering. Oh, the glorious gift of the Holy Spirit. But somehow we have neglected what John said about this baptism that was to come upon the people of God. He said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. His sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Listen, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And there's no period there. Most of us put a period there. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with
fire.
I didn't hear you. And with
fire.
Fire. And until we receive this baptism, we shall never, ever be God's burning ones. I know we always quote Acts 1:8. That's the favorite scripture of Pentecostal people. But you'll be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But I submit to you this morning, how shall we have power to be his witnesses if we have neglected the equally important aspect of receiving also the baptism of fire? Don't think that you've received all that God has for you because you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. We can be all that God desires and has ordained for us to be unless we receive that baptism with fire. Why do we need this baptism with fire? This baptism with fire purifies us and makes us vessels meet for the Master's use. You know, the refiner uses fire to make pure gold. Gold that has alloy is not precious. Gold that has other particles in it is not precious. And it's only as gold is put into the fire that those other elements drop out of it so that it can be pure gold. We cannot be God's witnesses without the purity that the fire of the Holy Spirit will purge out of our vessels, so that we can be equipped to do what God has called us to do. See, the Holy Spirit, when he comes not just to visit. He comes not just to show up for a few moments or an hour or even a day. He comes to abide and to take over. He comes to sanctify. He comes to show us that the walk that we are to live now is one of progressive holiness, where we continue to become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And if today we are not more like Jesus than we were when we first accepted him into our hearts, and that doesn't come by being faithful to church. That's a wonderful thing, and we love it when you're faithful to God's house. But religion and ritual will never do it. It takes the indwelling fire of the Holy Ghost to burn out the impurities, to show us where our lives are dishonoring and displeasing to God. The fire of God purifies and it purges, it melts and it incinerates, it devours and consumes all that is not of God. And when the fire of God falls, sin is judged. When the fire of God falls, there's no longer any compromise in our lives. And it's not just about those obvious sins. Sins of our flesh. Oh, the Spirit convicted me. I was gossiping about someone and I need to stop gossiping. Well, how about sins of the Spirit where we're holding malice in our hearts toward a brother or sister? Unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, God wants to purify us wholly and completely, and those subtle secret sins of the spirit need to be purged out. See, when the fire falls, the masks are pulled off. There's nowhere to hide. Pretense is stripped away, and our souls are laid bare before the eyes of Him who sees and knows all things. And He says, let me, allow me to do the work that I desire to do in your life. He comes to put in us a spirit of burning. A spirit of, I wonder if during this fast any of us have been praying, Lord, give me a spirit of burning. Make me one of your burning ones. And this is a process that takes place. And the process is, as we daily lay ourselves on the altar and die. Oh, I want to live a life in the Spirit. And we think living a life in the Spirit is somehow saying our shunda magundas. That is not a life in the Spirit. I've heard people speak in tongues and their life was rather looking more like the life of the devil than it was the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only loveliness that can come from us is when we are laying on the altar, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:1. I plead with you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, what? A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Huh. That means that when we're placed on that altar, we don't just say a prayer and get up and then live our life again. We stay there and we allow the fire to come down. You know what the Apostle Paul was picturing when he talked about this? He was picturing the brazen altar. Do you remember the brazen altar in the Old Testament? It was a place where the animal was laid and the fire consumed that sacrifice. And it was only when the smoke of that sacrifice went up toward heaven that it was a pleasing fragrance to God. Do we want to be a pleasing fragrance to God? I know this is a paradox, and I know it's hard for us to hear, but the reality is the pleasing fragrance only happens when we die. Die to ourselves. Die to our soulish nature. Die to our carnal desires. Die to what I think and what I feel and what I want. Die to what I have the need of always being right. Dying to having to do my thing and have it my way. Dying. And those of us who are married know that God will use our marriage to put us to death. And that's a good thing. You know, the other night I was getting ready to go to bed and something came on the channel that we were watching, and I can tend to be very facetious and sarcastic at times. And I made a remark to my wife, out of jest, but she took it to heart. And I kind of flipped it off like I was innocent. But the next morning I got up and I said, good morning, honey. And I just knew by that look. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? I said, hi, how are you? Fine. I knew that I knew. It's time for you to die, Spuler. Get on that cross and repent. I know it's funny, but the reality is that's the way we could live a life unto Christ. Total death to self. And when that fire falls, you can be sure it will consume everything that is unholy, earthly, or temporal. You know, as fire tempers steel, so also will this fire of the Holy Ghost embolden us to stand for Christ. Some of us are so weak in our position in the world. We want to run. Oh, if they know I'm a Christian, they're going to persecute me. Well, if you had the fire of the Holy Ghost in you, it would embolden you. And that's exactly what Peter said. that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to be witnesses. Bold witnesses. And that coward Peter, who just days before denied Christ before thousands of people and before the Sanhedrin and all the religious leaders, he boldly stood and he said, "You crucified Jesus." He told them where it was. He told them how it was. And he told them what they needed to do. Get right with God. Such boldness. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know about you, but if I was standing before that wicked monarch, dictator, Nebuchadnezzar, who said to me, "You bow down to me, or I'm going to cast you into that fiery furnace," I would have been shaken in my boots. But there was no reserve. "Be it made known unto you, O king, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you because you're not our God. He is our God, and we worship him, and we worship him alone." That's the boldness that the fire of the Holy Ghost wants to put into us. And because those three Hebrew boys were faithful and obedient to their devotion to what God had called them to, the Son of the Living God said, "I'm not going to leave them in that fire alone. I'm going to walk right into that fire." And the only thing that burned were the ropes that tied their arms. Oh, the boldness that God gives us, but it only comes through fire. That's who John the Baptist was. He was a blazing, burning torch. He's been called the incandescent man. I know we're living in the age of LED bulbs. They're cool, right? But some of us who are a little older, you remember the incandescent bulbs? You dare not touch them or get near them. They were fiery, burning hot and bright. That's what God wants us to live our life. Passionate, fervent, intense, and fiery. John was on fire for the Lord. Can we say we are blazing, burning lights for God? Where's our passion for the Lord? Where's our passion for his presence? Can we say with the psalmist, "As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul." That's panting. That's an intensity of thirst. I can't get to that water brook fast enough. I'm so parched. I'm so dry. I need a drink from the spring of living water that will satisfy the thirsting of our soul. And yet how many Christians are going through life searching here, searching there, seeking here, seeking there, thinking that they're going to find satisfaction in the things of this world, in the pleasures of this life that will never, ever satisfy. Do our hearts burn when we open the Word of God, as did the disciples on the road to Emmaus? That as Jesus opened the Scriptures to them, their hearts burned. Oh God, give us burning hearts. And that comes that when we hear the Word, we are not hearing black letters on white paper, but we are hearing the living Word of God that is proceeding from his mouth into our very spirits. Are we burning with passion and in love with God and for God? Have we lost, or should I say what the Scripture says, not lost, willfully left our first love? You know, in your love, you'll climb the highest mountain, you'll plumb the lowest valley, and yet for Jesus, we're seeking other lovers that never can satisfy. How is it that our love for Jesus is so small these days that it's so hard for us to love our brother and our sister? See, when the fire of God's love touches our hearts, we are even made able to love our enemies. We are able to bless those who curse us and to speak all manner of evil against us. It takes the love of God. It is a supernatural love, and it only comes by the fire of the Holy Ghost that is shed abroad in our hearts. I don't know about you, but the more I think and the more I speak and the more I read in God's word about this fire, I'm getting more and more hungry for it. I say, oh God, baptize me with a fresh baptism of fire. It's not enough that I could pray in a prayer language. I need fire from heaven to consume this sacrifice and fill me with all the fullness of God. I want a burning heart, because the fire that God places within us, he says it must never go out. Do you know that that's God's requirement for us? The fire upon the altar must never go out. Some of us barely have a kindling left by the time we get here on a Sunday morning. God help us to keep our lamps, as Judy mentioned earlier today, trimmed and burning, filled with the power and the oil of the Holy Spirit. We're so often lackadaisical about spending time with the Lord. But I'm telling you, my friend, if that is not the priority of our lives, I know during this fast that we've made an extra special effort to make that our priority. But it needs to be the priority of our lives every single day. We need time in the Word. We need time in prayer. Without that time, our lamps cannot be trimmed. Our lamps cannot burn with fresh oil, fresh fire from heaven, so that we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's the bottom line, and I'm going to close in a moment this morning. We can't burn and shine with our lamps without fire. It takes fire to create fire. And the only fire we need is the fire of the Holy Ghost. Because any fire that we have outside of that fire is false fire. It's fire that God is not pleased with. Because it's fire that comes as a result of our own human efforts and our earthly and our carnal and fleshly abilities that, if not touched by the Spirit of God, they are meaningless and are of naught. We need fire. Last week we closed with this song, Send the Fire. I want to read these words. We sing words, but do we really mean them? Can this be the prayer of our hearts this morning? It's fire we want. For fire we plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet my every need. Send the fire today. For strength to always do what's right. For grace to conquer in the fight. For power to walk the world in white. Send the fire today. To make our weak hearts strong and brave. Send the fire. To live a dying world to save. Send the fire. Oh, see us on your altar lay. We give our lives to you today. So crown the offering now, we pray. Send the fire today. Let's make that our prayer. And this morning we're going to close with a prayer that I want us to listen to. It's a prayer that Corey Russell, who leads a house of prayer, who prayed for the baptism of fire. So can we play that, brothers? Thank you. Let's bow our heads and pray this prayer together.
My prayer for the baptism of fire. John the Baptist declared it. I baptize you with water, but there is one coming whom you do not know. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. God, I lift up my voice before your throne right now. I lift up this generation, this nation before your throne. God, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. We need that cleansing fire, that consuming fire, that burning fire. Our hearts have gotten cold, hard, indifferent, Our lives are filled with sin and apathy, complacency, compromise. Our garments are dirty, O God, and we need you. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you said, this is why I came, to send fire on the earth. And how distressed I am until it is accomplished. God, we cry out before your throne right now. Send the fire of the Holy Spirit. Baptize this generation in the fire of God. Burn up, God, all the chaff of dead religion. God, remove all the sin and the compromise and the apathy. Set our hearts on fire again, oh God. Father, set our hearts again on fire. Make us tender again in your love. Song of Solomon 8, you said, set me as a seal of fire upon your heart. Oh God, I pray that Jesus would be the fire on the heart of the church again. Oh, that we would love you above everything else. That every other lover would fall to the wayside. And that Jesus would be first place in our lives. We ask you for the baptism of fire. Right now, friend, lift up your hand and ask him for the baptism of fire. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, release the fire. Release the cleansing fire. Release the purging fire. Release the refining fire. God, I pray that you would bring forth a bride out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That would begin to shine, God. That would begin to glow in your glory. That their hearts would be set on fire. Their eyes would be set on fire. Their lips would be set on fire. Release the fire of the Holy Spirit. What you did on the day of Pentecost, do it again, God, all over the earth. Remove, God, every other lover and set us on fire. A radiant bride shining in your glory. Filled with your Spirit. Moving in your anointing, oh God. Just lift your hand right now. Shandala bakaye. Ora bakaye robo shoto yora bakaye. Now right now, ask him for the fire. Holy Spirit, we ask you to baptize us with your fire. Just wait on him right now. Holy Spirit, come. Tenderize your hearts in the fire. Jesus, I want the flame that's in your eyes to be on my heart, to be in my spirit. I want to love what you love and hate what you hate. Righteousness. I want to love your beauty. And I want to hate wickedness. Put your fire in my heart, Jesus. And burn away all the apathy, all the complacency, all the indifference. Burn it away in me, Holy Spirit. Touch me with your fire, God. Touch this nation with your fire, God. I pray right now, God, from California to D.C., from Detroit to Dallas, and every city across this nation, that the fire of the Holy Spirit would begin to break out. Release an explosion of your glory and of your fire, my God. Burn away the dross and bring forth the church on fire. Release, I pray, God, all over this nation in the name of Jesus. In the fire.
Media, can we have that second song, please? Send the fire. Make this your prayer this morning.
Thank you.
Lord, in the quiet of this moment, the cry of our heart is, let your Spirit burn a fire in us that will never be extinguished, that would grow brighter and brighter with each passing day, that would grow more passionate for you, passionately in love with you, unequivocal in our devotion and dedication to you, committed to walking in obedience to whatever you say we will do, not questioning, not halting, not doubting, not fearing, but being sold out for you. And cause us to know that as we open up ourselves to you, that as you see the sincerity of our hearts, you will honor the cry and you will come in with your fullness. We say, baptize us with fire this morning. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to consume all that is not of you. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to give us that vision and that passion to live and to walk in a way that pleases you and brings you honor and glory. So to this end, we pray that you would be honored, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you feel led to just spend a few moments at the altar,